In this week's edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast, we are going to look ahead to the National Football League season and just, I'm going to offer some thoughts on divisions, who goes from worst to first, most likely, least likely, and the opposite as well. Brandon Legal Group is your full-service law firm available to you here in the Tampa Bay area, the greater Tampa Bay area. Sorry, I'm already thinking about football season, as Brandon Legal Group is as well. Thanks to Sean, thanks to Jeremy, Ingrid, other people that I have met who have worked for Brandon Legal Group, whether they still work for them or are just connected to them now, like Colin. Brandon Legal Group would just like me to remind all of you that it has been nearly 1 year now since Governor Ron DeSantis signed into Florida law the elimination of permanent alimony. So if you are an adult male and a Florida resident and you continue to pay permanent alimony, you don't have to do that anymore. Now, you can't just stop on your own. You need to get in front of a judge, and there's a very good chance the judge will reduce or eliminate your financial obligation going forward based on Florida law. Brandon Legal Group can help. For a free consult, go to brandonlegalgroup.com, or if you choose to call, that's fine, 813-902-3576. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Junior golf summer camps have begun, and they will go all summer long at Tampa Bay Downs Golf Practice Facility with my longtime friends. Joey DePompo is the director of golf. Jacob is his assistant. I have been in and around these golfs. So I know, here's the joke. Todd, what would you know about kids' summer camps? Because it's ages 6 through 13. What the heck would you know about summer camps? You don't have kids. You're not around kids. It's only adults who play in Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. You're right, but I've been going to the Tampa Bay Downs Golf Practice Facility for over 10 years, and I don't stop going in the summertime. So I've been around in the mornings when these camps are going on, and in the past, I've even assisted Joey and Jacob with some pizza for the kids' camps. Or some other things. I've had girlfriends who've put their sons in these golf camps. The camps are for boys and girls, by the way. So yes, I have familiarity with these camps. They are very efficiently run by experienced people who have run them for years. And according to my ex-girlfriends with the kids, my friends Joey and Jacob are, quote, very good with the children. The camps run Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Sign-up is required. Cost is $150 per week. And there will be camps, three more weekly camps in June, four weekly camps in July, and then the final weekly camp is August 5th. To sign up, visit TampaBayDowns.com/golf or Eventbrite.com. Again, ages 6 through 13 for the Downs Golf Practice Facility Junior Golf Summer Camps throughout June, July, and the first week of August. Snacks, drinks provided all week, a pizza party with prizes and awards every Thursday of camp. The young people seem to have fun out there, and it beats the heat by being just in the morning. My email for podcast purposes is wright.todd@yahoo.com. Todd Wright Tour is on summer break. We will return in October with Todd Wright Tour 48 if you'd like to just talk to me about my golf tournaments, which are open to the public, all previous 47 events throughout the greater Tampa Bay area, Central Florida area, have all been priced at $99 or less. We don't play in the summer because of too many weather issues, simply uncomfort, possible postponements, cancellations, or just wet golf courses if it actually decides to start raining this summer, which it didn't in the greater Tampa Bay area last summer. But we'll return in October with better weather and another Todd Wright Tour golf season, which will be my 10th season on the Todd Wright Tour. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. Okay, so 8 divisions in the National Football League. This was something that came up recently as a talking point with something I follow on the internet. I brought it up to one of my fans of this podcast. I said, what do you think of this for a podcast for this week? And he agreed. It's a simple one. Who goes from worst to first? And now remember, you know, we had until this past year where the Niners and Chiefs went to the Super Bowl. Both the Niners and Chiefs had won a playoff game the year before. The Chiefs had won the Super Bowl the year before. Prior to last year, 9 of the 10 previous Super Bowls had at least one of the two participants hadn't won a playoff game the previous year. And it just shows you how there is carryover from one year to the next with good teams and bad teams, but there's also attrition. Sometimes it's tough to find. There are good teams that fall, and there are bad teams that rise more than we think. So the candidates to go from worst to first, in no particular order, are Patriots, Panthers, Cardinals, Titans, Commanders, Chargers, Bears, Bengals. Let me take them one at a time. I'm not a believer in the Patriots. It feels like that franchise is going to play in its own unbelievable shadow for some time. And for all that Robert Kraft has accomplished as an owner, I'm not sure he's going to see that success. He was very careful, as I read recently in Jimmy Johnson's book, about prematurely ending the relationship with Bill Belichick because of the lesson learned from Jerry Jones prematurely ending the relationship with Jimmy Johnson. But now he's moved on. The problem is that he already decided in advance who he was going to move on to. That player is part of this old school Patriot way that doesn't seem to work anymore. Or the Patriot way was never a thing. The Brady-Belichick combo was a thing. And the Patriot way was just something said that was an offshoot of the success of those two guys together at the two most important employment positions on a football team for tangible things on the field. I got to see it to believe it with Drake May, not rooting against him. I got to see it to believe it with Jerod Mayo, not rooting against him, but also Mayo, a head coach with a defensive background that doesn't seem to get you to Super Bowls anymore. Ask anyone with the Bills about that. So I don't look at the Patriots and see them going from worst to first. I'm not going to make the same mistake twice on the Panthers. Last year, I thought the Panthers had what they needed, a new franchise quarterback and a head coach with an offensive background that had what it took to be successful. I liked the coaching staff and some of the other things they did, and it was a disaster. And, you know, as great of an owner as Bob Kraft is, I'd take him to be successful again before David Tepper. That's for damn sure. I'm rooting for Dave Canales. I actually even kind of predicted Canales would be one and done with the Buccaneers and of interest to Carolina because he used to work with Dan Morgan, who went to the University of Miami and has been prepping for this job as a GM, his entire post-playing career. But it's going to take some work in Carolina. And as much as the NFC South gets knocked, I'm not sure Carolina is even in the conversation with the other three teams in the NFC South until we see otherwise. The Cardinals played hard last year. They were competitive. Kyler Murray did play rather than sit out the whole year. They drafted a guy who should, right, we believe is going to be very good in the National Football League in Marvin Harrison. I don't see a path to first place for the Cardinals, though, considering the Niners are in the division and the Rams are in the division. I could see a path to them getting to third, but that's about where it ends for me on the Cardinals. I'm not going to spend too much more time on that. Remember, the Cardinals a year ago traded that third pick to the Texans, and the Texans ended up picking the offensive rookie of the year, Stroud, and the defensive rookie of the year, Will Anderson. And then this year, it's like, wow, it really pays off with what the Cardinals got. I know they got more than just the Texans' number one pick in exchange for that number three pick, but I don't feel enough was made about how, yeah, you got the number one the next year from Houston. And again, you got more than that pick, but you traded the third overall pick for the 27th overall pick. That's a big dip. That's a real big dip. Yeah. Because the Texans were so good, the value you got on just that first round pick, going from 3 to 27, not good value at all. The Titans, it is a head coach with an offensive background from Cincinnati via, I believe, the McVay tree out of LA. I think Callahan was with McVay, and when Taylor was hired by the Bengals, Taylor brought him in. I don't think Callahan called a majority of the percentage of plays in Cincinnati, so this is his first time calling all of them. I assume he's going to be calling the plays. I haven't looked into Titans football. I don't know that they have the quarterback yet. You know, they're going year two with Will Levis, understood. But Derrick Henry's no longer there. That was the biggest part of your offense. For the last, 5 years? I don't see a lot on that roster that I love with an untested head coach, albeit from the offensive side of the ball. I think it's an evaluation season for a lot of people in Nashville. I'm not suggesting Callahan's going to lose his job after 1 year. But It's difficult for me to envision the Titans winning the NFC South, even if the Jags are bad again and decide to not move forward with Trevor Lawrence and play Mac Jones them more than anybody thinks. There seems to be more potential with the Colts. And after what the Texans did last year, it's hard to envision the Titans winning more games than the Texans. Barring something happening to C.J. Stroud. The Commanders also have a rookie quarterback. He looks like a playmaker. Dan Quinn returns to being a head coach. He was successful as a head coach with the Atlanta Falcons. Then for much of his tenure with the Cowboys, was a successful defensive coordinator, but he does come from the defensive side of the ball. I think we're all skeptical that Washington can make a huge leap, even though it certainly looks like the Giants aren't a good football team. I'm going to talk about Dallas in a minute and the bad situation with the Cowboys. So let's just look at it this way. Are the Commanders really better than the Eagles? The Eagles brought in new offensive and defensive coordinators. The Eagles are loaded with talent. They have a veteran quarterback with Super Bowl experience in Jalen Hurts. They have Hall of Famers on the offensive line. They're strong and fast. They drafted for their secondary. I can't look at the Commanders and say, yeah, they're better than the Eagles. So taking even the Cowboys and Giants out of the equation, I can't make the case that the Commanders can go from worst to first just because I don't see them winning more games than the Eagles. They might win head-to-head against the Eagles once, not twice, but they're not going to win more games than them and win the division. The Chargers are interesting because of the Harbaugh-Herbert combination. I want it to be good. I want this to be fun. The Chargers did have to make some changes to their roster based on some salary cap issues. Not maybe quite as bad as Buffalo and some other teams. Defensively, it still looks like a pretty talented roster that Brandon Staley didn't get nearly enough out of. The issue is, you know, how quickly can Harbaugh put this thing together and win big? They might contend for a playoff spot, but I'm hard-pressed to believe, much like I said, the Commanders can be better than the Eagles. It's hard for me to believe, even in the first year, that Harbaugh can put something together to be win more games and win the division over the Chiefs. That just, to me, is a too tall of a hill to climb. We get to the Bears. They're sort of the darlings. I'm not as big on Caleb Williams as others, not rooting against him, but some of his teammates seem to have turned on him near the end at USC. You know, maybe he had already checked out looking at where he was going. Granted, he played. They didn't put him in bubble wrap. Caleb plays. I get that he's viewed as a generational quarterback more than many candidates who have failed in recent years. Of all first or second year quarterbacks in the NFL other than Stroud, I get that he's probably the one that we're expecting the most from, but how quickly? Eberflus is still there. I'm not a fan of that. It's not just the defensive background. It's a number of things. It's an odd culture with the Bears, right? They won big one time with one great team. That was nearly 40 years ago. They've never had a quarterback, throw for 4,000 yards. Bad things tend to happen to this franchise. And just drafting a guy number one, benefiting from Carolina, giving you too much to take the wrong guy a year ago in the draft. I don't know. I can't predict it that the Bears jump. I think the Lions are in a better place. I think the Packers are in a better place. I think the Packers are the better young team with the better quarterback. You know, you're looking at the Bears and you want to get excited. For all the reasons that people want to get excited about the Bears, I'd point to the Packers and Lions instead. And the Vikings still might be in the mix here. Might. Granted, it's a rookie quarterback. And still trying to, they can't just throw the ball to Jefferson every play. Although, give them credit for keeping him around. So I don't see the Bears climbing that hill. Which leaves the Bengals in the toughest division in the National Football League. Here's one for you. I think it's over the last 4 years. It's either the last three, the last four. I don't think it's the last five. Just from a betting standpoint. But hear me out even if you're not a gambler. If you had just bet, let's say the sample size is 4 years, which I think it was. If you had just bet on AFC North teams in non-division games, home or road. If you had just bet on AFC North teams in non-division games the last 4 years. So you don't bet on, say, the Ravens against the Bengals or the Steelers against the Browns. But when they play out of their division, if you had just bet them to win money line, not spread, you would have won over 60% of the time the last 4 years. And ask anyone who tries to make money in Vegas, 60% is an insane number. So that just shows you how much winning is done in the AFC North when they're not playing each other. That's how good that division is. The Bengals, just a few years ago, went all the way to the Super Bowl, came from 21-3 down to win the AFC title game at Kansas City. Joe Burrow, to me, is one of the top three quarterbacks in the National Football League. Mahomes is number one. Burrow is right there with Allen. I can make a case Allen's number two. I can make a case Burrow's number two. Burrow does have the chip of, I went to a Super Bowl. Allen doesn't have that yet, but Allen stays healthier than Burrow does, plays more games. Just has, can't beat Mahomes, which Burrow did, although then lost to in the AFC title game, what, 2 years ago. So yeah, it stands to reason the Bengals are the answer to this question because of their talent, of their quarterback, their stability at head coach. Can they take down the Ravens? Yeah, they probably can. Can they stay ahead of the Steelers? Yeah, they probably can. Can they stay ahead of the Browns? Yeah, they probably can. So that would be my choice. I was big on the Bengals a year ago. Burrow started the year hurt, then got hurt again. Browning looked pretty damn good to me. He was a restricted free agent. I still think Browning could end up the quarterback of either the Titans or the Rams next year or the year after, because he's very experienced and he's very capable. The last time Washington went to the college football playoff before Michael Penix, guess who their quarterback was? John Browning. It's John, right? I have this mental block about his name. So it's the Bengals for me, as it is for others. And let me talk quickly about first to worst. Who's most likely to go first to worst? So in the eight divisions, your candidates are the Bills, the Ravens, the Texans, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Lions, the Bucks, the 49ers. We can't predict a season-ending injury similar to the Burrow thing for Purdy, who stayed healthy all last year, Mayfield, Goff, Mahomes, that would rock the NFL. Stroud, that obviously would set the Texans back. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, that'd be awful for Buffalo, Josh Allen. So could one of those guys go down? Of course. Can we predict it? We can't. So taking that out of the equation, I can't make the case that seven of those teams fall. I think the Lions are overconfident. I do. I think the way they were their own worst enemy on the field and with coaching decisions where the risk was too much for the reward in the NFC Championship game, I think that sets them back. I don't know how far. I don't know if Green Bay's ready as a young team to take the next step. You know, if the Bears put it all together, maybe they are a candidate to go from worst to first. I have my doubts. But if Green Bay's not ready and Detroit is overconfident and has some injuries go their way, yeah. But to see the Lions fall to fourth would be a lot. It might take a Goff injury to do that. So barring the quarterback injury of the eight teams that won divisions last year and taking a season-ending franchise quarterback injury off the board that would set those teams and any team with a franchise quarterback, a true franchise quarterback, back, it's Dallas. And this comes from me. I'm not looking forward to watching the Cowboys this season. I won't go out of my way to watch the Cowboys this coming season. I was talking to a fellow Cowboys fan last night, and I said to her, if I wouldn't mind if we just fast forwarded past this Cowboys season, because I think a lot of things are going to go bad and it's set up very bad because Jerry's trying to run it back and just get a do-over from what happened at the end of last year and maybe a little bit of the residual effect of what happened at the end of the previous 2 years. If he's going to blow things up, why not just blow it up? Because it feels like everybody knows that's coming. It is literally Super Bowl or bust for a team that can't get to a conference championship game. No regular season win is going to matter. The Cowboys could go 17-0 and it doesn't matter. And this, once it starts going bad in a playoff game, it's just sitting over them like a really, really dark cloud. If you're going to move on from McCarthy, you're going to move on from Dak, why didn't you just do it? Because it's just sitting there. So, yeah, most likely candidate to go from first to worst, barring major quarterback injury to any of the teams that finished first last year, the best candidate's the Dallas Cowboys. And that's coming from me. And the fact that they brought back Ezekiel Elliott just kind of adds to the odd vibe. Would we all agree Dallas has two of the five or six best offensive guards in the game, in Smith and Martin? Yet last year, you didn't have a running back who could run behind those guys and get a tough yard. So you had to go get Ezekiel Elliott, who 2 years before, that's kind of all he could do, was get the tough yard. By the way, leading receiver in receptions on the Patriots last year was Ezekiel Elliott. Bill Belichick used Zeke in a way the Cowboys rarely did. I don't know if Mike McCarthy will use him that way this year, but just sort of an odd thing. It's like Zeke came back for the last call of this group of Cowboys, and I don't think it ends well. Let me know what you think. Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Worst to first and first to worst for the upcoming NFL season. Can't get here soon enough. The Todd Wright Toddcast presented by Brandon Legal Group and Tampa Bay Downs Golf Practice Facility. Thanks for listening.